Today's episode of The Dark Paranormal is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it. So your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Companies and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Live from Liverpool, The Dark Paranormal, Season 21. Hello everyone and welcome back to The Dark Paranormal, Season 21, Episode 6. Yes, we've started the ascent to our season finale already as we've passed our midpoint last week. And a huge thank you to each and every one of you listeners out there, because by all accounts it's our biggest season yet. And keep spreading the show, please. That's the only way we get more stories, we get more experiences, and we can all learn more about a topic we all love. Yes, of course, before the story I'll give a shout out to our newest Patreons, but I want to thank all of the listeners who are non-Patreons too. Don't forget the part you play in this, your submissions, the way you can help spread the show, just by leaving a simple like or a rating review somewhere. It all helps us grow, and it all helps The Dark Paranormal remain moving forward, getting stronger and getting bigger. So a huge thank you to each and every single one of you. And we are working on some very special announcements to make throughout October. And I mean very big announcements, and I cannot wait to share them all with you. But we have the matter in hand of today's episode. Now, every so often, a story comes in that feels less like a simple haunting and more like a lifetime of being followed by something we can't quite explain. Tonight's listener, who wishes to stay anonymous, talks to us from Canada and brings us back through their childhood, their teenage years, and even into adulthood, as strange patterns begin to emerge in the dead of the night. But what makes this account all the more unsettling is, as you will see, it takes many years to discover that maybe it wasn't only them living through it. Today isn't really just an experience, it's a reminder to all of us that the darkness that we all feel from time to time, that chill down the spine, and we convince ourselves it's just us, it's after we gain this sort of paranoia, we may be getting haunted. We, as in I, the individual. But this show today reminds us that sometimes, perhaps, the darkness is spread evenly and malevolently across whoever it chooses. And it can work one of two ways. It could either work to make both people act in a sort of folly a due, where they are both aware of each other's torment, or it can choose to isolate and separate. But whichever path this evil decides to take, one thing is for certain. It's going to result in emotional, possibly physical, and definitely spiritual trauma. However, before we hear this experience from our wonderful Canadian listener, we need of course to say a huge thank you to our latest team members over on our Patreon team. Now, if you've listened to any of our previous episodes, you will already know my stance on our Patreon. I think it's genuinely something magical. I don't claim any part in it other than setting it up, but the community there have genuinely built a safe and inclusive place for like-minded individuals interested in the paranormal, be you a skeptic or believer. And it's not just hyperbole when I say I would genuinely join for that community alone if I was not the host. Sincerely. But when you do sign up, Not only do you get to be part of that wonderful team, you also get early ad-free access to everything on the main feed, and you can also gain access to the entire back catalogue of Dark Bites. Now, Dark Bites is our Patreon-only podcast, where for 30 minutes every week of the year, we take a much more casual and conversational look at some of the shorter experiences that have landed in our mailbox. And as our Patreons already know, it's now my favourite show that I do, simply because the little twist we've added in is I do not know the experiences I'm about to read until I begin reading them. Therefore, my reaction is 100% legitimate in terms of what yours might be too. Or maybe it's completely different. I will then go on to surmise what I think may have happened. You will have your own opinion. And that's where the comments all come into play. But it truly is a fantastic place to be. It's one of my favourite things to do, making Dark Bites, and with over 130 plus hours of content that you can binge whenever you wish, it's most definitely somewhere that a paranormal enthusiast should be. So if you sound like you fit the mold to join our team, we're of course giving away a free week of the highest tier, meaning you gain full access to Dark Bites and that back catalogue of 130 plus hours by simply clicking the link in the show notes or heading over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. Just like the following wonderful new team members have. LPG Esquire, Chris Boylan, Samantha Barr, Rachel Carter, Will Joyner, Carlos Rapidos, Katniff, Jonathan Eason, Ariana Taylor, Johan Kamerad, Jordi Trustwell, Chris Young, Toby Mateson, FOMO For Real, Louis Amaro, Christopher Johnson, Grant Hope, Joan Gainsmore, Peace Place Found, and B1%. Thank you so much, guys. I know I say it each and every week, but it's genuinely from the heart. This show simply wouldn't exist without you. And for everyone, I understand where we are financially in the world. You can still do your bit to support the show, absolutely free of charge, simply by subscribing or even leaving a review. Tell a friend. There's a lot of ways you can help absolutely for free, and genuinely, I appreciate each and everything that you do to help grow your show, our show, The Dark Paranormal. On which, right now, please lower the lights, make yourself comfortable, and most importantly, leave your disbelief at the door. As we hear all about the stain of evil. Hi. Although I've given you my name, I do wish to remain anonymous. I'm based in Canada, and I've been a listener for a while, and I feel this is the time to share what I and my family experienced. This is only my part of the story. The majority of my experiences took place in my childhood and up to my early 20s. I'm now 34, and it's taken years of self-reflection, finally talking with my family, and actually exploring more about my own spirituality to feel confident to now share my story. I will also say I'm an English Lit major, so bear with me if I overwrite or use too many commas while I write this down. This truly is my experience. And whether you believe me or not is fine. But this writing process is cathartic. So if you stop here, thank you for your part in it. I have my own ideas of what and how this happened, but it would require then involving my sister and her own experiences, so I'll try to write carefully enough to let you come to your own conclusions. Anyway, here I go. I have vague memories as a super young child where things didn't add up, or what I experienced was odd. But my first memory, my vivid memory, of when this all really began was when I was around 11 or 12. I was up reading at night and I started to hear a tapping on my window. I would read in my bed and often my headboard would be just beside the window. The first time I heard this tapping, I noted it but chalked it up to maybe a confused bird, maybe a squirrel, because it was dark. However, I was an avid reader, so I'd be in my bed all times of the day and this tapping would happen, be it daylight or whatever. The constant being it would happen when I was reading alone. And the more it happened, the more I tried to rationalise it was an animal. Maybe a rock that just happened to hit my window on the second story of my house. But if I was being honest with myself, the tapping didn't sound like a scratch or a beak. It had the sound of a hand or even a finger tapping at the window. But I couldn't acknowledge that was the case because it would have freaked me out even further. This tapping started to happen more and more, to the point I needed to confront what I was hearing. And so, one evening, to almost prove to myself I wasn't afraid, or to make the imaginary squirrel theory feel more plausible by shooing it away, I did the stupidest thing I could have done. I opened the window. Immediately after opening the window, I felt a breeze come into my room. One which, granted, could have just been the wind. But in my heart, I felt something shift. Even though it was only subtle and I didn't see anything, a small part of me, pardon my French, knew I'd fucked up. In the immediate night after that, I found it hard to sleep and was hyper aware. Yet I was relieved to find there was no more tapping. I can't remember the exact times, but in the days or weeks that followed, I was able to convince myself I was scaring myself for no good reason. But then, the tapping began to happen inside, on the wall above my bed. My childhood room was basically a small rectangle. You'd walk into the room, and there'd be a closet on the same wall as the doorway. On the opposite wall, the window, and my bed was tucked in the corner, facing out into the room with my headboard on the same wall as the window. My room was on the second floor of the house, and the window looked out onto the neighbour's house, the street below. Except for the main light in the room, I had a bright digital clock on my bedside table, and the streetlight below would emanate light into my room. So all of this is to say, even with curtains drawn, my room was dimly lit at all times because of the streetlight. So, laying in bed with the lights off, I could see every corner of my room. So, when the tapping began over my head on the wall, I would immediately open my eyes and look into my room and see nothing. After the initial jolt of fear from hearing this, I would continue to reason with myself and make up stories in my mind to make sense of it all. I would keep my eyes closed, trying to will myself to sleep, making up stories to justify that tapping. All far-fetched, but enough for me to cling to. Because if I acknowledged it was odd, even more fear would rush in, and I didn't know what to do. Another tactic I would do is to continue to read late into the night, to the point where I would be so tired I'd just fall asleep regardless, or I'd hum to drone out the tapping that seemed to be coming always in threes. This tapping above my headboard became so constant and increased in ferocity that sometimes the tapping would wake me up in the middle of the night because it was so forceful. I remember once I'd woken up from the tapping and was pretending to be asleep. In my exhausted state, I finally allowed myself to think, okay, if this is a ghost, it will tap three times. And of course, to my absolute dread, there was a heavy silence. And then three deliberate knocks above my head. Looking back, I think I was getting worn down from the lack of sleep, and after I fully mentally acknowledged it, the activity, unfortunately, increased. At this point, it had been about a year of this tapping in my room, and I was now 13. For better or worse, I was now kind of familiar with the tapping, and it didn't elicit the same reaction of fear. Probably because I was quite literally exhausted, and all it was doing was tapping to get my attention. There would be tapping, and I would stay up late and read. But a nighttime ritual that I began to do to help me sleep was to say a prayer. I'd turn off my lamp on my bedside table, quickly roll to face the wall to fall asleep. I'm not sure how much time had passed before I began to once again get woken up. Not just by tapping over my head, but also to find the bedside table lamp back on. It's hard to try and describe this feeling without putting myself back in that memory and reconnecting with all those emotions of that time. But the first time this happened, waking to see my bedside table lamp on, it felt like this drop in my gut. This immediate jolt of wakefulness after being dead asleep. I've listened to previous listener experiences that describe this as almost a primal fear. That immediate feeling of danger that can't quite be explained. So it felt like that, only I was a 13-year-old girl. I really could not make any sense of this, nor can I now. But at the time, denial was my only way to feel like I had some grasp on the situation. So I still attempted to explain this thing away, even though I knew in my heart of hearts it just wasn't true. Instead of accepting something was happening outwardly to me, I turned inward and berated myself even as I was paralyzed in fear. I would be angry at myself for leaving the light on again, even as I intently maintained my ritual of turning off the light and facing my wall to sleep. This inner challenge of my own perception, this lack of trust that I forced on myself to have towards my own experiences, if that makes any sense, only made my self-esteem and confidence terribly low. Which perhaps, because of my continued denial, increased the activity. I have vivid memories of that time, and the mental image of my bright clock blaring the time. It would always take place between 3 and 4 a.m. My lamp on, and the feeling of this intense gaze. I then started to have the dreams. Personally, I can find it really hard to focus, and as a non-drinker, I can also find it tricky to try and wind down. And how you go about finding your personal vibe is your individual choice. Do you know there's a 100% American farm-grown online cannabis company that ship federally legal THC direct to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients so they can target nearly every mood and health concern you can think of. I'm talking about Mood.com's incredible line of functional gummies. And our listeners get 20% off their first order at Mood.com with the promo code DARKPARANORMAL. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that just get you high. Mood gummies are optimized so it can take as little as 15 minutes to take you to the mood you desire. Like the Mind Magic gummies for creativity and focus. Or PMS support to ease cramps and balance mood swings. And there's a plethora of other gummies for you to find your perfect mood. These days we all know gummies just to get high can be bought from just about anywhere. But Mood have changed the game by combining premium federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get in the perfect mood in as little as 15 minutes with no dispensary lines or no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered discreetly to your door. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, as mentioned, our listeners can get 20% off their first order by entering the promo code DARKPARANORMAL. So go to Mood.com and find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for and let Mood find your perfect mood. And don't forget to enter the promo code DARKPARANORMAL for 20% off.
The holidays sneak up fast, but it's not too early to get your shopping done and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful, with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. We've all scoured the web for last-minute, passable gifts, but you rarely find something unique. Gifts worth a thought is as appreciated as the gift. But you will at uncommongoods.com. Often handmade or made in the US, many crafted by independent artists or small businesses. made in small batches or very rare one-offs that don't break the bank, though the best finds can sell out fast. It's our second year working with Uncommon Goods, and last year I bought a delicate blown glass sphere in an almost spectral green, and since then it's become a legit conversation piece for anyone coming into my home. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone. Mums, dads, kids, book lovers, football fans, gardeners, you name it, you'll find thousands of new gift ideas you won't find anywhere else. The phrase, the gift that keeps on giving, is rarely true, but with Uncommon Goods, every purchase you make, they give $1 to a non-profit partner of your choice, donating more than $3 million to date. So shop early, have fun, and cross some names off that list. To get your 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/darkparanormal. That's uncommongoods.com/darkparanormal for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. You know, this holiday season, comfort isn't about finding more hustle, it's about slowing down, finding calm amidst the chaos, and creating a home that truly restores you. And that's where Avocado Green Mattress comes in, because you can create your own natural holiday oasis, because Avocado transforms your home into a peaceful grounding retreat, with their products made with certified organic and sustainably sourced materials. From breathable bedding to handcrafted mattresses, Avocado is all about true comfort, so you can rest, recharge, and wake up refreshed all season long. Every Avocado product is thoughtfully made with the planet and you in mind, and you can feel good about the comfort and quality that you're bringing into your home. And there are easy financing options with Affirm to make your purchase more accessible. Prioritize rest and recharge with Avocado's organic comfort. Head to avocadogreenmattress.com today to create your natural oasis and save big during their holiday sale. Avocado, dream of better. Sometime between the ages of 13 and 15, I started to have a recurring dream where I was in a wooden building of some kind with rafters. Even now, after thinking about it over and over, the details of how I got there or why I was there are unclear. But I remember the feeling of hiding. A little girl would run up to me and reach for me, at which point I'd wake up and recognize the pattern of the lamp being gone, it being the same time of night, etc. Over time, the dream became more vivid, and I could recall the details of what the girl was wearing. She had plain curly blonde hair that was kind of tied back with a blue ribbon, and she was wearing a white cotton dress that had some embroidered details on. If I had to guess an age, she was maybe somewhere around 11. But every time she would appear out of nowhere, and she would approach me urgently, where I would then wake up. Not to brush over the eeriness of this whole situation, but at this point, it had been 3 years of whatever this was, and in all honesty, I was exhausted. Over time, I became accustomed to these nightly interruptions, and I actually started to get annoyed when I was woken up. As this continued over the years, I ultimately normalized it being odd, and just came to accept this was part of my nightly routine. Somehow, I began to accept while these instances were unnerving, I didn't feel I was in any particular harm. I began high school, I had more friends and extracurricular activity. So, naturally, I wasn't spending a lot of time alone in my room as much as I was. 16 went by quickly, and while the instances still occurred, they weren't as frequent and I was distracted. I will preface this next part to say that in Canada, our legal drinking age is 19. However, at least my friends and I started drinking recreationally even earlier. I was maybe 17 at this point, and I remember stumbling into my room, flopping onto my bed drunk after a party. At some point in the night, I remember the feeling of being shaken awake and seeing the little girl clearly in my bedroom, as the light from the streetlight outside poured in. I can still remember her face, scared, urgent, and the feeling of her shaking me awake. In a split second, she was gone,
and I was at the edge of my bed facing out into the room. This time, the lamp on my bedside table was off. But, like I said, my room was fairly well lit at night. I was probably still hazy from drinking and being passed out, but the girl was now gone, although my brain could not wrap around what it was now seeing. There was a distinct shadow, a black darker than any black I've seen before, like it was devoid of all light, and it was hovering like a malevolent stain near the doorway of my room. Somehow, I could feel its gaze. Immediately, I was sober and was plunged into a deeper fear than I'd ever known. I also inherently knew I had to keep this thing away from me at all costs. I recall that night, I tried to close my eyes to sleep, or at least pretend to sleep, only to reopen them to see it still hovering there, and be plunged again into such a deep fear, knowing it was watching me. I so wish I could tell you that evening I figured out how to keep it at bay, but at some point I passed out, either in exhaustion or fear, to awake the next morning. The first time it happened, I attributed it to me being drunk the night before. But as these materializations persisted, I realized it had unlocked a deeper fear in me, and it was very much real. Now a new pattern began to emerge, one where I would be woken up by the little girl, and then be jolted into that situation where it felt like I had to energetically hold this thing off, and with its gaze, it continued to push the boundaries to get closer. Reflecting on this time of my life, I wasn't categorically unhappy, but these episodes would happen when I was at the lower points of my life, whether that be feeling emotions of rejection, sadness, or uncertainty. I wish I could say that this was the end of my tale, but the moment I graduated high school, I moved away to university to live on residence and thankfully have some reprieve. When I was 22, I moved back home, feeling completely lost in what I wanted to do with my education. And now, looking back with the help of therapy, I understand I was in a period of depression. Without turning this into an even longer experience, I was at my lowest point, and I was at risk for self-harm. Remembering the experiences of my childhood room, I moved into my parents' basement instead. And I had a great basement apartment type setup. I can't remember the specific time as that period's a bit of a haze. But at some point, the dream and the materializations begin again. Only this time, the entity that was once a loosely formed, malevolent, hovering shadow began to actualize into the silhouette of a very tall man wearing a hat. This man had no face or any other defining qualities, but I could feel his gaze. Once again, I was being shaken awake by the little girl. Only the recurring dream was even more vivid this time, and when she would reach me where I was hiding in the barn, she began whispering to me,
"Wake up.
I would then be jolted awake to feel this intense gaze on me, with this shadow clearly defined in the darkness. The only way I can describe this feeling is it was like I was being shoved into an energetic fight. I don't know if I'll be able to explain this fully, but it felt like I had to mentally push with everything I had to keep this thing away from me. I also knew that I wasn't safe. And while I wasn't sure what it wanted with me, I knew it wasn't good. I can't give reasons to why my mind went here during these episodes, but I had this overwhelming urge to protect myself. and I started to mentally envision this ball of light in my mind. I would then channel this light to become bigger and bigger until both me and my bed were enclosed within. These mental visualizations helped me either way. And not to be too metaphorical, but I started to seek the light in my waking life too. I am so grateful to say I'm in a much better place now. I moved out of my parents' place and in with my now husband. And I no longer am being woken up at night. I was ready to chalk up my entire experience from childhood to early adulthood as some figment of my imagination. Or maybe a mental health episode that I somehow overcame. Maybe a side effect of stress. All of this could be true, and I was more than willing to close that chapter of my life with those as reasons. That's until, years later, I was in a pub with my sister. She was in a fight with our parents at the time over the fact that despite living with them, she was never home, and they were concerned that she was being irresponsible. I'm grateful to say I do consider my sister to be my best friend as well as my family. And after this particularly big fight, we went out for a drink. So I asked her sincerely why she was never home. What was going on? She then proceeded to tell me the reason that she was never home was because she kept being woken up by a little girl at night and something dark was in her room. She then goes on to tell me in precise detail, unprompted, the very same dream that I'd been having for years. The details of this girl waking her up. The details on her dress. Everything. I'd buried my own experiences so deeply at that point, I don't think I'll be able to fully describe this moment or the chill I had hearing my sister describe back to me the same experiences that I'd experienced for years, despite never telling anyone about it. It's even difficult to describe the total and utter fear in her voice as she described her experiences to me. Even now, when we are past this as a family, hopefully, we are all still hesitant to talk about it with each other. Because it was such a dark time for both of us, separately. Knowing this is probably already too long, and her side of the story is her own side of the story, my side of things, thankfully, ends here. If you've read this far, thank you for your time in reading this, and for your podcast. Being an outlet for people like me to share their stories. There can be a lot of shame in experiencing something like this, because it can so easily be mocked or belittled. Also, when you experience something like this, it's hard to describe, knowing you are unable to explain it fully to anyone who asked. Personally, while I think a healthy dose of critical thinking is always necessary, just because something hasn't been explained yet doesn't make it any less real. Please let me know if you have any questions. I'd be happy to do a FaceTime, etc., to share further details or even share pictures of my childhood room, if that would give a better visual. Take care, Anonymous. Well, Anonymous, thank you so much for this start to our second half of season 21. Now, I really ummed and ahed about airing this episode. And it's nothing to do with the content, it was whether I could do it justice. Because reading it in the way I normally read things on this show, normally, as we all know, we build into the season as we move forward through episodes, and things start looking more poltergeisty, etc. And this is much more of a subliminal sort of haunting. I've used the word qualia before, and although I'm sure probably all of you know what it is and what it means, for those who don't, without trying to sound patronizing, the definition of qualia literally means something you can't explain, So, for example, if you had an emotion that you can't really verbalize, you would say, I've got this emotion that has a certain qualia to it. So, for example, there would be descriptive words around that emotion, which are in the general ballpark, but you know are not the right word. So, for example, well, are you depressed? No, but it's similar. Is it a form of melancholy? No, but you're on the right lines. And there will be no real word that describes how you feel, so you would say, it's similar to that, but I know that's not what I'm experiencing, and I have no words in the English language to describe it. Therefore, the feeling I have is a qualia. And when I finished reading this experience, Anonymous, a qualia, as in a qualia, is exactly what I experienced. I was disturbed is the nearest I can come to the description. I wasn't terrified, I didn't want to hide. It wasn't like some of the other experiences I've covered where I didn't feel safe. There was a very subliminal disturbance of my psyche is the closest I can get to the feeling I had whilst reading this. And that's exactly why I wanted to ensure I gave this story my best shot. I wanted it on this season because if it gave me a feeling I very rarely encounter on this show, that tells me it needs to be shared. And also, the entity that you're describing is something I don't think we've really touched on or looked at before. There are several different elements which tap into almost vampiric sort of activity. There's an initial asking to be let in, the tapping on the window. You obviously open the window and receive a slight breeze, which can be very well taken as the spirit entering. It then starts knocking in threes above your head. We've heard that before in other experiences. It then manifests initially as this dark, malevolent stain. You eventually move to university and receive no more spiritual troubles, which does again infer that whatever you let in through the window has chosen to remain in the house. When you return, it's clearly fed off whatever energy is in the house, and that dark stain has now manifested into this top-hatted gentleman. This is all great in theory, but where it falls down slightly is the idea of this little girl. Where does she enter? It's not like she would have entered with that cloud or that breeze, at least not in my opinion. I would say the only way this can tie together and be fixed, using the similar theory, would be if the evil entity, when alive, if ever alive, managed to kill this little girl, and she visited you in a dream to warn you about his presence. But that is just my first attempt at a theory on this entire narrative, and believe me, it will be one of many. I'll end today by asking you, Anonymous, two questions. Firstly, did your sister see the transformation, I would expect, of this stain to the top-hatted man? Because obviously this transformation seemed to have happened whilst you were away. So it would be interesting to know if she witnessed this strange stain become a blob, become a silhouetted figure, etc. And the second question to ask is a little bit more cheeky and a little bit more unlikely, but it will be asked anyway. You'll be aware that just before we launch a new season, we tend to put an episode out the week before. A pre-season episode, if you will. In the past, we've had guests on like Ruth Roper Wilde, etc. But where you mentioned at the end of your email about potentially doing a Zoom call to discuss more details, I put it to you as a question and a hope that maybe you and your sister could get together for a Zoom call and we will have an interview about your entire experiences together so that A, we can get your sister's version of events and B, we can almost get a kind of voluntary folly à deux where you both may egg each other on and remind each other of certain aspects which you've both forgotten. I think it would be a fascinating episode to do for our pre-episode of season 22. So have a think on that and let me know. In the meantime, thank you to you all for joining me here on your show, The Dark Paranormal, for season 21, episode 6. I'll see you all again next week. I cannot wait to bring you episode 7. Believe me, it's a belter. And until then, remember, when you're discussing the paranormal, always try and keep some of your disbelief at the door. And I'll see you next time, right here, on The Dark Paranormal.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.